Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Row Show.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're so glad that you came on back and joined us.
Yes, we Scott. Are. We are.
Look, I'm pushing buttons.
I know.
Hey, make sure and look for us on Facebook, facebook.com/themusicrowshow. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. We'll have lots of cool pictures up here soon.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah, let's get to it, Hino. Talk about these three amazing people we have here tonight.
Well, as many of you may know, we not too long ago lost one of the great songwriters here in Nashville, a gentleman by the name of John D. Loudermilk. Many hits over the years in the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame, and a bunch of his friends got together not too long ago and put on a tribute concert, which luckily he was still alive and was able to attend. And it was filmed for PBS and also as an album that just recently came out. And three of the folks who participated in the event are here with us tonight. We've got Harry Stinson, a drummer extraordinaire, played on everything that you can think of just about, and he's also one of Marty Stewart's fabulous superlatives.
And a hit songwriter.
And a hit songwriter himself, that's right, and producer as well.
And I hear he's a great house painter. He'll paint your house.
He will paint your house. Yeah. He's good with the trim. It's really awesome. And then we have guitar player extraordinaire, actually multi instrumentalist, John Jorgensen. If you've ever heard of the Hellacasters, one of my favorite groups, so we'll be talking about that a little bit later.
Okay.
Is here with us tonight as well. And then Beth Hooker, great singer who's sung with so many people, everybody from the Scorpions Sting to Don Henley to Sting, yeah. And just and of course,
and with us,
and that's with you guys, right. Of course. Yeah. So we are just thrilled to be able to say to all of you, welcome to the Music Row Show.
Yay.
Thank you
so much for having us.
Good to be here.
And once Harry paints your house, Beth can get you paintings for inside your house.
That's right. She's a great painter herself. Yeah.
So thank you guys for being here.
We're so glad to be here, especially for this project, because it was a labor of love. And this was something, an idea that my wife, Dixie Gamble, had to pay tribute to John D., who had so many hit songs over many decades in so many different styles.
Oh, yeah.
From writing instrumentals for Chet Atkins to writing songs for the Everly Brothers to pop from the Nashville Teens, of David Lee Roth, Edgar Winter, Paul Revere and the Raiders, Nora Jones, Jewel. I mean, it goes like his stylistic thing goes on and on and on. In fact, one of the songs that was part of the project, Blue Train, Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver performed it on the show.
Too. Yeah.
Well, that was Bluegrass Song of the Year, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. So his catalog just it's a crazy catalog.
It's massive.
And yeah, it's shocking. And my wife, Dixie, was really good friends with John D. and his wife, Susan. Mm-hmm. And we would see them socially. And each time I'd come away from one of those social things, I would go, oh, and he wrote that song too, you know, that iconic song. I'd see.
Oh, yeah.
And it wouldn't be him talking about it. It would be, I'd see some award or something like underneath a pile of magazines that, like, oh, he wrote Indian Reservation. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. He wrote Ebony Eyes. Oh, yeah. Okay. You know, so it was one of those things. So to be able to pay tribute to him and have him be there with 27 different artists, each doing one of his iconic songs.
Yeah.
It was just a phenomenal experience for all of us.
And I think a lot of our listeners are going to know John D. Loudermilk, but a lot of them aren't. But it's like you say, that song.
Yeah, heard Tobacco Road?
That song.
Yeah.
Right.
Have you ever heard Waterloo? Ever heard Abilene? Sad Movies? Then you can tell me
goodbye. Tell me goodbye.
Indian Reservation. Yeah, Big Daddy. That's so.
Abilene. And it's just crazy, like you're saying, that the diversity of the genre. There was no genres with him, really. I mean, he was.
I mean, anybody who's had cuts, you know, all the way from Roy Orbison to, I think, Kanye West did one of his songs.
Yeah, exactly.
David Lee Roth.
Yeah. David Lee Roth. So, I mean, that's,
yeah, Edgar Winter, like Paul said, Paul Revere and the Raiders. Yeah, Nora Jones. On and on. Tracy Ullman. I mean, Anyway, it was crazy.
Obviously, there was the respect for the music. Did all of you have a personal connection with John as well beforehand?
Well, I had met him a few times, and he actually was one of the guests on the Marty Stewart show that we did for 6 years, where he brought in his big lazy boy, and he has, you know, his little tap foot thing, and he played Tobacco Road and with his gut string, and he played Windy and Warm on his gut string, and you know, so I hung around him, of course, that day a lot. Before that, I met him on a Rodney Crowell shoot. What's the name of that song? I Couldn't Leave You If I Tried.
He was
in the video shoot, so we got to hang out that day too. And I was like, who is that guy? He's a pretty cool, eccentric Southern man with the wire-rimmed glasses. Who's that guy standing over there?
Man. So what was it about his writing, you think, that made him stand out amongst all the other songwriters in town? Because he obviously had something special going on.
Well, so many of the songs were tiny stories, you know, like a little movie, you know, like the song Sad Movies, for example. It's a whole story, and you see it right in front of your eyes. And that song, you know, he wrote for Sue Thompson in the early 60s, and it was really written from a female perspective. So it sounds like a woman would have written that story.
He's,
you know,
amazing in that he could write from a woman's point of view.
Yeah, come on into that mic.
Dixie Gamble had pointed that out to me before, and I started listening to the songs and going, oh my God, you're right. I can relate to this song. And he wrote it. How did he do that?
Well, he was in touch with his feminine side.
Oh, he was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And ours. And your.
Plus, John D. had a voice of his own. He wrote most of those songs, if not. I mean, what did he write with somebody?
I don't think he co-wrote any of them.
That is unusual.
Yeah. Maybe one or two songs.
But I know he wrote most of these things all by himself. So he had a particular voice.
And even for instrumental, I mean, Chet Atkins asked him to write a song for him.
Wow.
And he came up with Windy and Warm. And for finger-picking guitarists, that's kind of an iconic song.
Well, Tommy Emmanuel played it on your show,
yeah,
right?
He did. And when he introduced it, he said that that song changed his life.
Wow.
Because it made him want to play guitar. And he found out after traveling all over the world that it was the same for so many other people. And so he felt that that song, you know, was touched by a certain magic that John D. created. And, you know, it changed a lot of people's lives. Mm,
that's
so
amazing.
I want to make sure we say this plenty of times today, mainly because Allison's looking at me. But when is this airing this week?
The album is being released on the 15th. The album itself.
So that's coming up this Friday.
Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yep.
Available everywhere. Fine music is sold.
Yeah, it's Amazon and iTunes and what
and
wherever.
It's so good.
And it's called A Tribute to John D. Loudermilk.
I didn't have the CD earlier today, but there's a couple of tracks that are available on iTunes. I did listen to those. The rest of them are grayed out, I guess, until Sunday or Friday.
Yeah.
But I'll be listening to that on the way home, definitely.
Well, there's so much heart in it. I mean, we're singing to John D., so we're emotional about it.
It's an incredible collection. And in 23 songs. How do you, and that still just kind of scratches the surface, right, of his music. So what goes into choosing the songs? Did the artist get to pick? And then how did you know when to stop when you're saying 23 is enough?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Well, some of the artists had done those songs before, like Tommy Emmanuel. Windy and Warm was a regular part of his repertoire.
Right.
Jimmy Hall had done Bad News. And in fact, the Loudermilk family knew of his version and requested that.
Nice.
Some other songs, like a song that we'll sing together, is called Everybody Knows. And that's not a very known song of John D's, but as I listened to some of them, and I thought that the three of us would sing that nicely together.
That's the opening track, isn't it?
It is. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact,
that was Harry singing, right?
It is.
That is.
We had sung at a Christmas Eve service before, and just enjoyed singing together. So that was just an idea. Many of the songs, like Dixie, listened to them, and if she heard a particular voice in her mind, then she would ask that person to sing the songs. Like Emmy Lou's track, Where Have They Gone?
Mm-hmm.
That's also a very little known song, but she could hear Emmy Lou singing, and then as soon as Emmy Lou listened to the song, then she wanted to do it, you know? And Roseanne Cash did a beautiful version of Then You Can Tell Me Goodbye.
Yes, she did.
And I think to answer your earlier question is, how did he cross so many genres? Well, that song was a hit as an R&B song.
Like it's really almost a doo-wop type of song originally.
Yeah. In the 60s,
yeah. What was the band?
The Casinos.
Casinos, that's right.
Yeah, and it almost has got a lowrider kind of, you know, doo-wop 50s feel to it. Well, Roseanne sings it just with her voice and a guitar, and it's a completely different version, but the feeling of the song comes through equally well. You know?
Didn't Tom T. Hall do it too? Was it Tom T. Hall?
Probably.
I think so many people
did that song, and so I think it's the people could relate to his lyrics so well, you know, and Ricky Skaggs did Waterloo, you know, and there's a verse about Adam and Eve, you know, so that's perfect for Ricky and in his world, and singing with the he and the Whites love the Browns, who did Heaven Fell Last Night. Mm-hmm. And so they did a beautiful version of that, and they were so excited to do that because they loved not only the song but also the Browns and that family harmony sound.
Yeah. Isn't that? Yeah.
So it was just such a treat. Mike Loudermilk, John D's son, is also a very good guitarist and singer, and he did a beautiful version of Abilene. And then he accompanied Nora Wilson, who did a song called The Great Snowman. And Nora was a producer. Of course, I first met him. He was producing Kenny Chesney. And I played on a couple of Kenny Chesney's first albums. And Nora was producing with Buddy Cannon. Well, he was an old friend of John Dee's. They were running buddies. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that this was his last performance.
Oh.
And he passed away not long after that. So there's a lot of kind of family elements to this recording.
Which runs through John Dee's life. There's a lot of love in his world, and I think a lot of this sort of took place in that spiritual place where it just happened, and the things that were supposed to happened, and they happened beautifully, and he was able to witness it.
That's awesome.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
for him to be there was super magical.
I was going
to
ask you I just can't imagine, you know, how did he react to having that happen and just...
Well, yeah. When this is aired on television, there was three cameras set up to shoot the show.
Mm-hmm.
And one was set for a wide shot, and one was set for a medium, and then one was going to be a close-up.
Right.
Well, at the last minute, it was decided to put that close-up camera on him so you could see his reactions.
And throughout the whole show?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. So he's clapping, he's smiling, he's singing along, he tears up. It's just phenomenal, you know, and when somebody hits a good note, he kind of cheers them on. So you can see his reaction. And at that time, it's a little personal to talk about, but he had stage 4 bone cancer at that time.
Oh, man.
So we didn't know if he'd be able to come and be there with us. Well, he was able to. And again, they brought in the Franklin Theater partnered with us on this show. We owe so much to them. They brought in a beautiful recliner because, you know, it's too painful to be sitting in a hard chair.
Right.
So he was there in the recliner. And as Beth said, you know, everybody was just singing to him. And there's a picture in the packaging that you'll see where he spoke at the end of the evening, and all the artists are on stage, and everyone's just rapidly
they're all looking to their right. I've seen that. Yeah. And they're all just right there
focused on him. And
yeah,
he is such
brilliant,
such a character.
His words are brilliant.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, always. We need to take a quick break. We're going to be back with more of John Jorgensen, Harry Stinson, and Beth Hooker. We are so excited. This is all for the John D. Loudermilk tribute CD, which is available all over the place, and their PBS special.
On Friday, right?
That's on Friday.
It'll be available on Friday.
You can pre-order.
Oh, you can pre-order. There
of course
you, go.
You can. We'd like to let you know this segment brought to you by KEMC Global. Anybody who's out there that is trying to maybe get a little inroad into Ireland, England, Europe markets. They're a great little organization that does some really wonderful things for independent musicians. Look them up at kemcglobal.com. We are going to be back with more here on the Music Row Show. Stick around.
like a light bulb in a dark room. I'm just sitting here waiting for you to come on home and turn me on.
Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's Beth Hooker singing right there. Beautiful John D. Loudermilk song called Turn Me On. I think it's about a stove, right? Or
a light bulb.
Or a light bulb.
You know, yeah.
Wow, that is awesome.
I don't want to turn it down. I'm sorry.
Scott's having a moment over there. And that is off of the Tribute to John D. Loudermilk project. That this is the CD that comes out this coming Friday. And then the show that was the actual concert was filmed, and that's going to be on PBS this week.
Yep.
Do you know what day it's going to be on again?
I don't, because I think different affiliates show it at different times. So
I've always wanted to say this.
Check your local listings.
Check your local listings.
Exactly.
Oh,
who
man.
Who can find them anymore? I miss that old TV listings guide, who, you know?
Does anybody read that anymore? I mean,
no.
No.
But, you know, they're all gathered around a microphone, the guitar's plugged in. It would be a shame to not hear a song right now.
Let's do it, yeah.
All right. This one is called Everybody Knows.
Everybody knows that I love you. Everybody knows that it's true. Everyone's aware that I really care. Everyone that is but you. Everybody knows that I need you. Everybody knows that is true. Everyone is wise that you're in my eyes. Everyone that is but you. Mary Lou and Jerry too know I'm acting strange. They wonder why you haven't noticed the change. Even your best friends, they know it's true. Why, oh, why can't you see it too? Everybody knows that I love you. Everybody knows that it's true. Everyone's informed that you keep me warm. Everyone that is but you.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Love that.
Yes. Thank you. Hello, Susie, if you're listening.
Man, oh
so
man.
Good. John, believe it or not, there's a little guitar stand right over there if you want to set that down to your, right behind Beth there. Okay, so what an amazing lineup. Hino, you have the back of that, but Rodney Crowell, Doyle Lawson, you guys have already mentioned Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver, Ricky Skaggs, just unbelievable. John Jorgensen, Beth Hunter.
Yes.
Harry Stinson. What you were talking about how great it was to have John there, but what was the backstage vibe like? I mean, because that's a bunch of folks there hanging out, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, most of the
you needed
artists,
a fourth camera. You needed one backstage.
Yes. Most of the artists sat in front and watched until it was their time to play because they wanted to see everybody else. So there wasn't that, you know, there wasn't that much going on backstage. It was mostly
okay
out front. In fact, sitting next to John D and his wife Susan was Buck White, who didn't perform that night, but he came you know with Sharon and Cheryl and Ricky, and the look on his face too was just he just had such a blast and just absolutely loved it.
And when we were backstage together, it was a beautiful bonding experience, and it's just so much heart and love.
Yeah.
Really, we were hanging on to each other through a lot of these performances. And I want to add, too, that Dixie, I mean, I know that for 10 years she's wanted to do this. Now, I'm speaking from personal experience. Dixie can be very persuasive, but John D, he needed persuading to do this.
Really?
Yeah, he was reticent to be.
Why didn't he want to do it?
He just was reticent to be feted, I think.
Yeah.
And I think, too, part of him was kind of thought he was going to get better and it would be maybe better to do it in the future.
Oh, I see.
But he was also just reluctant to be the center of attention.
He's
like that,
humble,
I guess.
He's a humble man.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
But Dixie used all of her powers of persuasion.
Which is
nice.
A lot.
And
she's
it,
a powerful
it worked,
woman.
You know?
Dixie's here, by the way. She's sitting behind everybody.
Yeah.
Look at that. With that knowing smile.
Since this was filmed for TV, was there any reshooting that had to happen? Or did you have to do songs over again or anything like that?
No, it went on like kind of like clockwork. There was 27 performances.
Wow.
And, you know, the stage manager was just shocked that it ended on time.
That's right.
You know, it was really, they did such a great job. And we had like one rehearsal with each artist. I mean, there was a group of people that kind of backed up some of the artists that didn't have a band.
I see.
So actually, Beth and Harry and I, we played and sang on a lot of the cuts, you know. I played a number of different instruments. We also had John McPhee from the Doobie Brothers, who is an artist on the album, but he also played pedal steel and guitar to back up some of the other artists.
Nice,
and
nice.
Charlie Morgan, an old friend of mine who we toured with Elton John with me for many years. He played drums for everyone. Mark Fain, who toured with Ricky Skaggs for 15 years, is playing bass for everybody.
Wow.
And, you know, so there was so many like kind of family elements to it as well, because Dixie was a music publisher and she brought the hit songs to the Whites, Hanging Around and Needles and Pins years ago. So she'd been friends with them for a long time. And of course, Mark was really good friends with Ricky and the Whites from playing with him for so long. And
right.
Beth and I knew Charlie from touring with Elton John. And, you know, like I said, Harry and Beth and I were social friends as well, along with Dixie. And and we'd sung before. And yeah, so it was so many interconnections. It was really fun that way.
So you mentioned that there were 27 performances. Were the other three, are those being held out for like the you know, the extra DVD or something?
Well,
or?
If you know, CDs have a certain limit of time that you can put on there. So literally, I think there's like 5/10 of a second or something more
available.
You
squeezed every bit.
And you didn't use
that
5/10 of a second.
So I cut off a lot of the talking. You know,
That'll
be on the video, you'll see.
Sure.
And then there was a couple of other songs, and hopefully we're going to get somebody to air the full show.
Okay.
At the moment, PBS is going to air like an hour of it.
Oh, I see.
So not all the songs can be on there. But
did you have any say as to what songs they're using? Or
no, not really, because there was a television producer, Peter Burkow, who... Mm. is really experienced in that, and that that took graciously, that took Dixie and I out of that position of choosing, because almost everyone on there was a friend or a friend of a friend.
It would make it tough to choose. Yeah.
Yeah. So the television producer chose those songs. And the way the album happened actually was I started to mix the songs for that the producer had chosen. And after I'd mixed, I don't know, 10 or so of them, Dixie heard it and said, wow, this sounds like an album. And so I just burned a CD and gave it to my manager, Bob Burwell, who's part of Vector Management with Levitan. And so the first track, I believe, was Emmylou Harris singing Where Have They Gone. The second track was Everybody Knows. Well, we had gone out to eat with Rodney Crowell and his wife, Claudia, who's also one of the artists on the show. And I got a text from Bob Burwell. He said, I'm only into the second song, and I know I can get a deal for this. That song has to open the album. And
wow.
That was Everybody Knows. And we have Harry's beautiful vocal on that, I think, to thank for the impetus for this album.
Well, way nice. To go, Harry.
Yeah.
Hello. Just trying to carry him away.
And you mentioned, were there any redos? I mean, this was such a heartfelt, soulful performance from everybody.
Yeah.
That even if it wasn't perfect, you wouldn't want to touch it.
Right. It was real.
It was honest.
Nice.
And loving.
Plus, you didn't want to mess up in front of him.
Exactly.
Well, just that. Yeah. Or Dixie.
Yes, that's right. We won't go into that story, but there is a little bit of story there. But
we've got 5 minutes before the break. Go ahead and do the story.
Well,
since
it was being filmed,
yeah,
and many of the artists hadn't played these songs live before. Some of them had, like I said, Jimmy Hall and Doyle Lawson. Mm-hmm. And those are normal songs in the repertoire, but a lot of the people had never done them before. So they brought lyric sheets.
Oh, okay.
So, and we didn't have a teleprompter, you know, but so in the packaging of the album, you'll see behind the CD, there's just a sea of lyric sheets.
Oh, yeah. That is an awesome shot.
Some of everybody. Them very lavishly decorated.
Yeah. Deborah Allen for Sad Movies. She drew little pictures on it and flowers and everything like that.
It was hysterical.
But in the rehearsals, you know, Dixie was watching the rehearsals, and each time she said, you will know those lyrics by Showtime. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Because, you know, when it's filmed, you don't want somebody always looking down.
Right.
Down,
and, sure.
And you need them to stay on the mic, too, you know.
Right. I love that, though, when a question isn't a question.
Yeah, exactly.
You will know those, right?
It's
yes, ma'am.
A
yes, ma'am. So we were talking earlier how John D. really worked without any boundaries as far as genres. Is that something that connected you with him? Because you're all over the place too, John. I mean, you got three touring bands at any given time.
Yes.
Will you just really quick run through those?
Yeah.
Well, for our listeners.
Yeah, one of them is a gypsy jazz quintet. It's called the John Jorgensen Quintet, and gypsy jazz is basically based on the music of Django Reinhardt and Stephan Grappelli. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's a European take on American jazz that features the acoustic guitar and violin heavy. And so that's one group. I also have a bluegrass band that called John Jorgensen Bluegrass Band, or J2B2 for short.
Mm-hmm.
And that features Herb Peterson, Mark Fain, and Patrick Sauber. And we do bluegrass, but with a little bit different material. Mm-hmm. Our song selection is not the typical ones, more lyric driven. And, you know, not necessarily so much about a cabin and things like that.
Okay.
So we do, like, you know, maybe a song from Rodney Crowell or Guy Clark.
Okay.
Things like that.
Okay.
And then I have an electric band, too, which is a four-piece rock band where I play electric guitar and there's a keyboard, bass, and drums. That tours mostly in Europe.
And what's that one called?
John Jorgensen Electric Band.
So very I see a theme in band names. Yeah,
well, right. You know, but
your creativity only goes so far.
Yeah.
thank you.
I'm sorry.
It's really for a purpose because people usually get them confused. Like, there will be a picture of an obvious bluegrass band with a banjo and a mandolin and stuff, right?
And people come
wanting
rock. And
then there'll
be a
picture with me with a gypsy guitar, and then that picture will be used to promote the bluegrass band or vice versa, yeah, whatever. So I'm just only trying to be really, really specific.
And they're all amazing.
Right. Well, you forgot the John Jorgensen Blues Band.
Yeah.
John Jorgensen Disco Quartet.
I will be playing with Evelyn Champagne King in October. So there will be disco will be had.
Disco.
Oh, my.
Hey, we need to.
But that is, yeah, that is definitely a connection point between me and
I thought maybe.
Well, before we go, I mean, speaking of bands, you have another band called the Helicasters.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys are still doing stuff, but I got to ask you, how did that project come about, and are we getting any more of that?
Well, that was back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Right.
I lived in Hollywood, and so did Will Ray and Jerry Donahue, and we were all friends as guitarists, and we all played basically Telecasters at that point. And there was a weekly event at the Palomino Club called the Barn Dance. And they would have different singers come up and do mini sets and stuff like that. And it was a great idea because all these different people would bring a few people, so the club would get full.
Right.
So we thought, wouldn't it be fun for us to do a set, but not have any singing, just let the guitars be like the three tenors or like Three Dog Night or something, but guitars.
Yeah.
And we were just doing it for fun, just for ourselves, you know. And then at the end of that gig, everybody said, oh, when you guys are playing again, I want to bring my guitar playing friends. And we're like, we're not playing again. It was just a one time. But it was sort of by demand. And then the second time we played, Michael Nesmith came to see us. And he had a label and he wanted us to do a record. So we did. And it became Album of the Year from Guitar Player Magazine and Country Album of the Year.
Yeah, great album.
And so that sort of kicked it off. Sadly, one of the guys, Jerry Donahue, had a stroke last year.
I see.
So he's not playing at the moment. And, you know, we didn't regularly play really since 2000. So we'd gotten together once or twice for reunions. But, you know, we'll say positively that there's a chance that we could do something together again. But
well, let me encourage any guitar player out there to go check out those albums because they are killer. They are really, really, the playing on them is amazing. Yeah. I spent about 3.5 minutes. I thought, oh, I could learn to play that. And I started to try to learn to play that. Like, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Well, I have to say one of my biggest honors was they had, you know, in guitar shops, they have like, no stairway, no smoke on the water, blah, blah, blah. Well, in a couple of guitar shops, it had no Highlander Boogie, which is one of the Helicasters songs.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but the important thing is you gave it a good 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, yes, I did.
Way to go.
Yes,
you know?
Thank you. I really not a
you really
stick it out. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Hey, guys, we're going to take a break. This segment is brought to you. You guys were just mentioning Mark Fain, and in my head I'm going, Mark Fain, Mark Fain. I know Mark Fain because he's been doing so many sessions with Buddy Hyatt.
Yes.
So, and that's...
He's playing on some of my stuff, too, yeah.
Yeah, he's done a whole bunch of... He works a lot with Buddy Hyatt, as does, my gosh, Brent Mason and Michael Johnson and just all these just fantastic players. And BuddyHyatt.com is where you want to go if you're going to record some sessions, if you want to do some demos, if you want to do an independent project, or if you want to do just a full-on big-time album.
He's the guy to go to.
He's the guy. Next
Buddy
session,
Hyatt.
September 20th.
Yep, BuddyHyatt.com. That's where you find him. We are going to be back with a whole lot more of this talented group here on the Music Row Show, so you come on back. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's Midnight Bus off of the John D. Loudermilk tribute CD. Who's that singing?
That's me.
That's you. Yeah. That's awesome. Oh, I love that.
Thank you.
Look at that.
Well, we could. Yeah, we were going to sing that
you
for
you. Can sing whatever you want.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
We will never say no to another song. All absolutely.
All right. Here we go.
Me and my baby riding that midnight bus, rolling out of Durham in a cloud of dust, headed for the border of North and South Carolina. This time tomorrow she'll be mine. After midnight bus, we fell out and had an awful fuss. I stood up and pulled the buzzer cord. I got out, the driver slammed the door. Suitcase tight, watching that midnight bus roll out of sight. She's gone, my baby's gone, and I'm alone. She's gone, my baby's gone, and I'm alone. Baby on that midnight bus. Loved and lost my baby on that midnight bus. She's gone, my baby's gone, and I'm alone. She's gone, my baby's gone, and I'm alone. She's gone.
He lays it down so it stays down.
Wow, that was so cool.
That was
so
very,
cool.
Very cool. Man, oh, man, oh, man.
Harry, we got just a minute. I want to talk about this because I had an artist, a younger artist, listen to something that I had recorded with Buddy Hyatt recently. And the first thing she latched onto was, oh, those are real drums. You actually use real drums. I haven't used real drums in years. And
well, she ought to get with it.
But, oh, right? Wow. And I know that you, obviously, you're an amazing drummer, but you've also embraced that technology, too. And, you know, there's drum loops out there of...
Well, I did a package for a company called TuneTrack.
Uh-huh. I have a bunch of their stuff.
And and it was, basically, it's real drums recorded as good as they can be recorded. And then I did some MIDI files so you can have... You know, me playing virtually.
Yeah.
On any song. That
guess
you
what
want.
I'm buying. So, guess so, what I'm buying tonight.
So I'm just curious. When
and I'm still chasing down the checks.
Hey, they're in Sweden.
It's,
or wherever.
It's a really great company. Yeah. But yeah, I did some of that.
But when does live for you? When does live make sense, and when does recorded make sense, or is it in your, for your?
It's convenience. If you're in a small space and you need really good sounding drums, you don't have a room to record them in, and that's the way to go, and I do it that way. And but lately I've been miking up my own drums at home and just recording myself, because it's just more three-dimensional.
Yeah. Sure.
It sounds better.
Yeah.
Very well, cool. And he's really good.
Well,
so,
yeah,
you know,
and I bet
that's
you
another his, thing. I, if you don't have somebody that's as good as him, you know,
that's a good time to use this. Yeah.
So, when is the virtual John Jorgensen drum guitar thing coming
Bazooki,
out?
Maybe.
Well, so that I can... you know, there is something, another thing. I forget the name of it, but I played Gypsy Jazz guitar for them, And so I played, they had me solo over every single chord you could ever imagine in your life, right? And then it's in some sort of an algorithm. So if you want like a Gypsy Jazz John Jorgensen solo, you program your chords in there and you plug it in. Wow. And then it has me playing licks over
wow.
these chords. It's very strange. It's,
and his Gypsy Jazz Band, every cell in my body is dancing when that music plays.
Wow.
It's really
They're
good.
All smiling. Yeah. They can't stop. Thank it's you. Amazing.
Does that come with it too?
No.
Goosebumps.
That's
included.
That's a,
yeah, goosebumps are included. Yeah.
That's a whole nother app.
Oh,
that's a whole nother app.
There's an app for that.
Hey, guys, we got to take a break. Barbara Potter Photography,
who will come in, take pictures of you and your gypsy.
While every cell is dancing, she will take a picture.
Wow.
She will catch every
She's
cell.
She's got a cellular camera.
Yes. Right.
She does everything from, you know, weddings and portraits to, you know, musician photos and everything, even boudoir pictures. I don't even know what that is, but she does them.
Wow.
And,
wow.
Turn a corner there.
Well, she does. It's on
well,
her,
I know.
It's on her
I
site,
know. I know. I'm just saying. I don't want to see yours.
Yeah.
Hey,
you.
Barbara Potter Photography. Find her on Facebook, and she's going to be in town for the entire month of November. So this is a great time to
grab her. Yeah, she's not around
her.
Much. She's in demand.
Okay. She's in demand. We're going to be back with more of John Jorgensen, Harry Stinson, Beth Hooker here on the Music Row Show. Stick around. We'll be right back.
We just cannot get enough of that song. That's Midnight Bus.
I love it.
It's awesome. We just heard a live version of that. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. Harry Stinson, John Jorgensen, and Beth Hooker are here. And me and Grammar.
Yeah. Well, the story of Midnight Bus is apparently in the 60s, it wasn't legal for people of a certain age to get married in North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
So they would take that bus to South Carolina to get married.
Why did it have to be the midnight one, though?
Well, because so mom and dad weren't awake.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah.
You didn't sneak out much when you were younger, did you?
I was a good boy.
And in the lyrics of the song, they have a fight on the bus, and the guy gets off. So he's stuck in the middle of nowhere. His wife is heading to South Carolina.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, well, Beth. I'm going to ask Beth a question, if you don't mind.
Why don't you ask Beth a question?
Because we're running out of time.
Okay.
But you have sung with pretty much everybody. Like pretty much.
And he's sung with everybody else.
And he has sung and played. Right,
so between
right.
the two of you, everybody's covered.
Yeah. But backup is an entirely different art form and than lead. So I guess for our listeners, are there any, just a couple little technical tricks that you've learned over the years? Because you're singing with Sting, you're singing with all these different
Don Henley,
people. Don Henley,
Billy Joel.
Yeah, I mean, so how do you? Are there certain things like? Do you not say your S's?
I came out of the
womb
singing backup.
That must have
really
freaked the doctor
out. I
had my
own bands for years as well.
Sure.
But I love making the chords with people. I love singing with other people. There's nothing like voices together and working together and
the ensemble
and it's the ensemble is wonderful.
Isn't the ensemble.
Pointers. I don't know. My mother said that I was trying to teach her harmonies when I was three. She said we'd be driving in the car and I'd be going to the harmonies and I'd get upset because she would not stay on her note. So.
Well, I can brag on Beth for a minute as someone who she just sang harmony with me. She gives an energy. She puts her energy to the lead singer in a way that makes the lead singer feel really good. And that you have to have that kind of support to feel like you can present as the lead singer. So I can tell, you know, if I felt that, I'm sure Don Henley felt that and Sting felt that, too. It's not only the singing, it's an energy, too.
It is an energy.
Yeah, it's a supportive energy, which is amazing.
And when I was singing with Don Henley, it was funny because I can go high or I can go low. Mm-hmm. And so often when Don was having, I love you, Don, if you're listening.
I'm sure he is.
A bad night, and he kind of look at me like, I need support. So, like, on, you know, don't worry, girl. He'd look at me like, double me. And so I would hit the low notes and sing along with him. I remember one time we were doing a VH1 special, and the camera would shoot me during that part, which it wasn't supposed to be really on me. So afterwards, Don hopefully jokingly said, well, how did you like the Beth Hooker show?
And how long did you sing with him after that?
Yeah, sorry, that was the last show, wasn't it?
Time, yeah. Forever. Yeah. But no, it was a wonderful band. But it was funny because he would call. There was Kev Bob, Deb Bob. You know, everybody had the middle name Bob. And because I could hit the low notes with him, one day he turned around and said, I'm just going to start calling you Bob.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, there Bob. You go. Wow.
Bob. You listen. I mean, it is a feel thing. When you're singing harmonies, you can feel, or for me, I feel if I need to use my fat voice, if I need to thin it out, you can hear the chord and you fit in, no pun intended, accordingly.
Ah, good. You
know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And you do that. Well, it's really on display on this album too, because you're singing really high, really high with Beth Nielsen Chapman, and you're singing really nice duets with Claudia Church on Sunglasses. Jeez, yeah. You're singing really cool parts on Sad Movies. You
are there to support the lead singer.
Yeah.
You know, you hopefully make it sound better.
Yes.
Hopefully. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What a crazy thought.
You know? Yeah.
And
you're the spark like you say, it's an energy. You help round it out.
And Harry, what would you do that as well. What would you add to that?
I wouldn't add a thing except just make sure you make the guy or the gal that's paying you sound great, and you don't, you know, you just help them out and be part of the team. Yeah. It's all about blend and listening to the singer.
Yes, it is about blend, and that's what I meant by thinning or thickening, or you know, just
to match up.
Blend, exactly. Match. Listen exactly. to the but how that's, the person sings and.
Yeah,
that.
There you go.
She was moving her hand around in circles for those people that are listening.
Yeah,
that wasn't
they all
just
got
a
that.
Pregnant pause. It was more of a visual.
Well, John, you are one of the relatively few players to have an official Fender Stratocaster.
Yes.
Come out with your name on it and everything.
Yes.
What goes into making one of those? What's the process? They come to you and say, "All right, how do you want your Stratocaster to sound or look or?"
Yeah, kind of that. I mean, the very first time that happened, it was with G&L, which was actually Leo Fender's company.
George and Leo. Yeah.
Yep. And they would call me. I lived in Anaheim, which is right next to Fullerton. Yeah. They would call me and say, "Mr. Fender has something he'd like you to try."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Yes, I'll be right there. Thank you." Yeah. And so just different ideas kind of led to a signature model with that company.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he passed away, the company changed hands and there were some things that were not so good. So Jerry Donahue we were playing with the Helicasters at that time, and he was a Fender endorser, and he kept trying to get me to come over to Fender. And so, you know, when Leo Fender was not there anymore at G&L, I said, okay, I'll come over and see what they can do. Mm-hmm. And so I had certain things that I needed guitars to do, you know. So one was a Tally style, and I have also a Fender Custom Shop John Jorgensen Telecaster. And one was a Strat style, and it needed to be a certain way. So I needed the body to be maple. I needed a 2-point pivot vibrato because I did Jeff Beck type of pitch bend things.
Okay.
That you might have heard on Winger Records back in the day as well. And I need certain type of pickups. So, you know, I've learned a lot about the physics of electric guitars over the years. You know, my first electric guitar that I got when I was 12, after playing it for a year or two, I wanted it to look like a Rickenbacker, so I took a saw to it.
Oh.
So I started learning early on how to customize,
customize, yes.
But I was so proud because my signature Stratocaster is a limited edition, and it's actually called a Fender Helicaster.
Nice.
And they didn't want to do that because of trademark kind of things.
Right.
But, you know, I kind of pushed it.
You
so.
Pushed it.
Yeah.
Nice.
That was cool.
Can I tell you, John, that talking about this stuff with Hino about building guitars and stuff, every cell in his body is dancing right
yes,
now.
Yes, it is.
Because this is you're right up his right up his alley.
Okay.
But listen, we
awesome.
And smiling.
I have a Hino caster at home.
He does.
Excellent.
He does.
That's
made,
like
yeah.
a Cooter caster, right?
Yeah.
Like my Cooter.
Well,
yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Easy. You didn't know where you were going.
Hey,
oh, hey, with 1 minute left, guys.
But I think I want one.
Yeah, a tribute to John D. Loudermilk. A yeah. tribute to John D. Loudermilk. This is good. You can start buying it. You can pre-order it now. It goes on sale on Friday mm-hmm. everywhere, iTunes, Amazon. Is there a place where they can buy physical copies?
Both of those. Yeah, I think Amazon definitely physical
okay.
copies.
And you really yeah. should because this is it's just really an incredible.
It's
and,
such an important album.
Yeah.
You will not be disappointed.
Yeah. Oh,
no,
you will not
be disappointed.
Not with one single performance. Mm-hmm. And every song is pristine.
Fantastic.
There's nobody like him. Nobody like John D. Loudermilk.
And this has been a pristine hour. Harry Stinson, John Jorgensen, Beth Hooker. See, I didn't pause
you.
That time.
Thank you guys so much.
Really my last
this has been a blast.
It really
so
is her last
I didn't think I'd yeah. laugh so much.
This show was brought to you by
People
the words reticent
the
and fetid, which I don't think had ever been used in the show
no.
in 10 years. So well done,
cheese.
John.
Thank
All
you.
Look
right.
at you.
Thank you.
All right, well, thanks everybody for joining us. Go to themusicrowshow.com, and we will see you next time. Got a great show lined up for you.
We do. Oh, you know what?
What?
Next week is our showcase again.
Yes,
we're
it
doing
is.
Another Music Row showcase.
Absolutely. We're going to be showcasing some
I can't
of the
wait
great
to see who you have
songs.
Lined up for us.
I can't wait either.
Can I
oh,
one
go
yes.
right ahead.
The proceeds from this album.
Oh, awesome.
That's
important detail right
goes
there.
Goes to what?
Music
cares.
There you go.
That's the
great
charity that helps musicians in medical need.
Yeah.
All right. See you next week on the Music Row Show.
John D's wife.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And son. Who plays Abilene.